Certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence among us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be with us, and we don't invite you back any opportunity you may have to join us here at Market Street in our services. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to take them and turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is where we'll be looking as we begin our lesson together this morning. The psalmist here declares in verse 1, he says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Christians in times of greatest need often may ask, where is my help? There's a song in our book that says, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yeah, that is so true. Oftentimes we're in life and we are faced with so many struggles and problems and trials and tribulations and things that disappoint us, things that come upon us in life. And then maybe sometimes we're left with the idea of really, how is it that I'm going to be able to make it through all of this? Really, where is my help? Where is my strength? Where do I really find myself? And as the song says, there's rarely nowhere else to go but to the Lord. The Lord is our helper, and He stands ready in every circumstance to aid His people. He stands ready to help, and He is willing to help, and He is there as a constant companion for us. Matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says, Let your life be without covetousness in chapter 13, verse 5. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As we face the trials and the difficulties of life, we need to strive to get a grip on life. And we need to do as the psalmist says, and says, I will put my trust in thee. I will put my trust in thee. There are three things what I want to notice with you this morning that I believe we need to understand. And I don't know why that's like that, but it is. But we'll go with it anyway. And that is, I will put my trust in thee, for who can separate us from God? You know, that's what we're told over here in Romans, when Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He says in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 35 of that 8th chapter, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. You know, who can separate us? You know, when God is with us and God is our help, He is our constant source of companion, He is the one who is our helper, who is it that's going to separate us? Well, the writer here, Paul, says there are a number of things. Is it going to be our tribulation or distress? Or our persecution or nakedness, peril? What is it? He says, verse 36, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither life, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we need to make sure that we understand that turning to the Lord for our strength and for our help. As I think about this, I think the Psalm of David is who we read earlier in Psalm 121. But again, if we turn back to the Psalms, I see David again in another Psalm, Psalm 9 this time is where I'm looking. And David in this Psalm says in verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. And I will sing praise unto thy name, O thou most high. Now, I read these verses and you say, well, that's good. Life is going good for David, and life is always good. And he's singing praise. No, I believe David suffered some things. He suffered some hardships. We know about the life of David. We understand the troubles, the calamities, the sin that was even in his life. But where does David do it? David says, I will sing praise unto thee. Life didn't always go the way David wanted to go, but David's heart was singing praise to God, the Most High. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, and when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For when thou hast maintained my right, and thou hast caused, thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. You know, when David sits there, he says, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm praising God because in the face of the Lord, in the face of the troubles and the struggles I have, my enemies are what? They are turned back. They fall. They perish. They're rebuked. They're put out. They're brought to an end. They're uprooted. There is nothing left of my enemies when they come to stand before God. Again, I'm reminded of another psalm. I'm turning to Psalm 138. Again, we see another psalm of David where here he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praise unto thee. Are we noticing something here about this heart of David? And that is that he is praising God continually. Sometimes people think, well, singing isn't very important. I think singing is a lot more important than sometimes we give credit to. And when you read the psalms, I really think you begin to see how that is reflected in the lives of David, and maybe the confidence in which he lived his life with. But notice he's doing this with his heart. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. And thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me and with the strength of my soul. And all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he respecteth unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt receive me and stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand will save me. The Lord will be perfect, that which concerneth me, and thy mercy. For the Lord endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You know, David says that what I receive is I receive an answer from God. When I'm going through my trials, I'm going through my tribulations, God is giving me answers. And he's giving me strength. And he stretched forth his hand against the enemies, and he's preserving me. He is doing the things which will be for my best. Let me have confidence that the Lord is with me. The Lord is not going to forsake me. You know, we think about Job in the book of Job. We remember the story how that everything was taken from him. Everything. But in all the things that he suffered, in all those things, it says that he did not blame God, nor did he charge God foolishly. No, when he was being told by his friends, you've surely done something. You're guilty of some kind of sin. Or you're a hypocrite. Or you're both a hypocrite, a liar, and a sinner all together. And his friends were no help to him. What did he do? He just continued to rest. And no, I'm right and the Lord is with me. I don't know what's going on, but God is going to see me through. And may we see that as we put our trust into the Lord. Who can separate us from God? I can. I'm the one who's determining that. It's not what happens in life. It's not what happens upon me. It's not what happens to my friends or my families or anything else. It's not that. It's not the things that are around the world that are happening. It's me. It's my choice. Where am I putting my trust? Where am I putting my faith? Where am I looking for my refuge? Who can separate us from God? Well, the next thing I want to notice with you is I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. You know, I think about this, and I want to turn back now to the book of Hebrews. I quoted this a while ago, but I want to turn back to the Hebrew letter and look at Hebrews chapter 13. And let's read these verses again, because I want to notice with you what the Hebrew writer says to these Christians. He says, as you're living your life, be content with such things as you have, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 5. Notice with me verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. There's no fortitude to faith that is better than a faith and a trust and a God who can and will do for us. And you know, when I read here and I read the Hebrew writer, he is saying that I live my life, not that I know everything is going to be like I want it. No, as a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer understands as he lives in this life that things are not going to be like he wants them. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer has already talked about that. If you will, just turn your Bible back to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And notice with me what the Hebrew writer says when he's talking about all these people of faith, all the lives of these people, and all the lives that they have lived, and faith and devotion, consecration, service to the Lord. He says, time would fail me to tell of all these people, of Gideon and Barak and Samson, verse 32, Jephthah, David, and also of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of the sword, they escaped the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness they were made strong. They waxed violent in flight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That's sounding pretty good right there. All those things are going well. Yeah, because these people were people of faith, right? Yes. But let's continue. He said the women received their dead raised again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. You know, I read this, and the Hebrew writer goes on, he says, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. But he just recalled all these people who lived lives and went through terrible times because of their faith and their confidence, their trust. They trusted in God. But what were they doing? They were afflicted. They were tormented. They were walking about destitute. They were walking about sheepskins and goatskins. They were stoned. They were killed. Somebody says, that doesn't sound good to me, David. That's why would... But the Hebrew writer says, putting your trust in God, I will not be afraid what man shall do to me. Those who walk by faith walk in the goodness of the Lord. They walk in due time knowing that God is going to see through it. Is that the whole picture of this is about Christians, and it's about Christians who are serving in ungodly times and ungodly governments around ungodly people, but they're people who stand for the Lord. There are people who are with the Lamb. They're fighting for the Lamb. They're working for the Lamb. They're doing their service to the Lamb. But all this evil is battling against the Lamb. And those are with the Lamb. But when we get to Revelation chapter 17, and we get to verse 14, it says, and these shall make war with the Lamb. But the Lamb shall overcome them. The Lamb shall overcome them. And those that are with the Lamb are the called and the chosen and the faithful. You know, that's why we don't fear. We don't fear because we know the end. We know our life. We're living each and every day, and we're living to serve God. And we don't fear what man's going to do to me. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 10? He says, fear them not that are able to destroy body. He is able to kill the body, but fear him rather who is what? To able to destroy both body and soul in hell. See, we fear the wrong things too many times. What we need to do is we need to live as people of hope. People who understand the value of a hope of something that is better. One man said, Other men see a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope. And that's so true. Sometimes when our life is going, we see a hopeless end. If we just look at life, it looks like a hopeless end. But for the Christian, he doesn't see a hopeless end. What he sees is an endless hope. There's hope always out there before him. There's always a hope that is before him. And we need to trust in that hope that God has given to us. And then lastly, I put my faith, well, let me back up. I put my faith in God. In God I have put my trust. In God I've put my trust. The question may be, well, why would we? Why would we put our faith and trust in God? I'm turning now back to the book of Romans. I'm turning back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And let's just go back and let's relook at this passage. We're going to back up now to verse 31. We started in the middle of something when I read in verse 35. In verse 31, Paul says, "What shall we say to these things?" That's the things that go on in life that we have to deal with. But we understand that God works together for good, for all things, to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us." You see, oftentimes what we do is we have to ask the question, is why should we trust in God? Why should we trust in God? Why should we? Because of what he has done for us. What he says here, why should we, is because God is for us. God is for us. See, oftentimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God is for us. Sometimes as we go through life, we lose sight of the fact that God's for us. We think somehow or another God is out here. He's wanting to trap us. He's waiting for us to fail. He's waiting so he can say, "You're gone. Cast you into the fire that burns forever. Depart from me, workers of iniquity." That's what we have in our mind. We have in our mind that that's what God wants to say. That's not what God wants to say. God does not want to say, "Depart from me." He doesn't want to say, "Cast away ye." He doesn't want to do that. Peter says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants man to be saved. God wants man to live eternally with him. And how does he do it? How did he prove that? He proved that by what? By sparing not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Do we understand what that means? Do we understand what that really means, that God gave his son for me? God doesn't want me to fail. Nobody wants their children's life to be a failure. Go to a ball game sometime. Go where the parents are out there with their kids. Their grandparents are out there with kids, even better. And you know what? I'll tell you one thing. Parents and grandparents never see the flaws of their own children or grandchildren. They just don't do it. They're going to be a success. They want them to be a success, and it doesn't matter how ungood they are. They think they're heroes. They think they're the greatest person that's ever played the sport or whatever activity they're involved in. They think they're it. Because they want their children to be a success. See, our problem is that we are human, and we're not perfect. And so we all make our mistakes. We all have our frailties. We all have the lack of talent or abilities. And so therefore, we can't do a lot of things that we feel like we ought to do. But you see, with Jesus Christ, we have one who is perfect. We have one who doesn't fail. We have one who doesn't lack anything that he wants to accomplish. And he came to this earth, to live a perfect life, and he did exactly that. He did not fail. He didn't stop short of that perfect life. And God gave him up for us. God allowed him to go to the cross. God kept him on the cross. While men were going by and they were reviling him and they were saying all manner of evil against him, and Jesus had prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And he's hanging on the cross and he's crying out, "I thirst." Doing all these things to fulfill Scripture, to fulfill the Father's will. He cries out, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And God leaves him on the cross for you and for me. Now, God is for us. And because God is for us, I put my trust in him. Because I will tell you, anybody who will do that for me deserves my trust. In this life, I had an earthly father. I never doubted or lacked trust in my father wanting to do the very best for me he could. Never. Never had a doubt in my mind about that. Now, sometimes it may have not been for my best, but I never doubted it. But I want to tell you what, our Heavenly Father, we don't have to doubt. He only wants what is our best. He only wants what is for us. He's not against us. So we need to put our trust in God. We need to rest fully upon him and trust in him and serve him all the days of our life. How is it that we live this life, and how is it that we go through this life with all the struggles and problems that we have in life? How is it that we're going to get through this life and succeed in being what God wants us to be? To put your trust, faith, and hope in God. And stay there. Life is long. Sometimes, as we think about it, and difficult. But really, life is just momentary. It's fleeting. As Paul says, it's a fleeting moment for just a time. It's a light affliction when you consider the things of eternal weight and the glory that shall be revealed. And may we remember that and trust in that. Maybe that you're here this morning, not a member of the body of Christ. Maybe you've not put your trust in him in order to come and belief that Jesus Christ, Son of God, that he gave his life upon that cross and shed his blood that you might receive the forgiveness of sins. This morning we want to give you the opportunity to make a change in your life, to make that change and turn in your life and coming in faith and confessing Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be buried with him in baptism, to rise up as a child of God, a new creature. Or maybe you've done that along the way. Your faith has been shaken. Your faith has not been where it ought to be. And this morning you need to make that redetermination, that rededication, the renewal in your life that I'm ready to stand with God. And I want to stand with him. And I want to make a public proclamation of that. And maybe you need to come this morning and ask for strength and for forgiveness. Any way we can assist you this morning, making your life where it ought to be. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?